Blog Talk Radio.
I was a hard drinking sinner with blood on my hands. I was a hard drinking sinner, a gun in my hands, drinking 40 pounds for dinner till I met a big man. And the man said, how do you do?
Ryan, and I gotta tell you guys, I'm feeling a bit rough. The freak is feeling rough today. I was stayed up, watched WrestleMania last night, and usually when I watch wrestling events, I get like, I don't want to say excited because that doesn't sound good when I watch two guys fighting in their underwear, but it's insane. I have a hard time falling asleep. So I was up pretty late last night. And also, I have allergies really bad. There are like clouds of yellow that are like following me around here. It's bad. I tried taking like Benadryl and Zyrtec and Claritin and Flonase all at the same time. Just fucking stuffed my face with them. I ain't working. Ain't doing shit. So I go from, you know, the wintertime where I'm sick all the time to the springtime where I'm sick from allergies to the summertime, where I'll be sick because it's too hot. I think the only time of year I actually feel like a normal person is the fall. Fall is complete. That's the only time I feel, you know, great. But you don't worry. enough of my bitching and moaning. I just want to get that off my chest. So if I'm not at 100%, you know why. I'm just dealing with the allergies. Unfortunately, Celestial is out of commission tonight. She's got a really bad headache. So it's just me and my guest, or my guest and I guess, if I want to talk like, you know, a human being, not a caveman, my guest, Rebecca Smuck, the host of the Paranormal Fringe, the newest show on the Vibe Radio Network. And I do believe, if I can talk right, I do believe she's on the line, so I'm going to put her on right now. Hello.
Hey, Ryan.
How are
you? How
are you
doing? Good.
Oh,
good. Sorry you're feeling crappy.
Well, it's just, you know, hay fevers and shit. I swear to God, I was at a friend's house last night, and I could see a fucking cloud of yellow blowing off a tree. And it's like, and I was taking apart a refrigerator today, thinking, I was like, oh shit, I got copper. It's pretty, makes extra money. No, it wasn't, like, it was steel. So didn't make no money. But I was taking apart a refrigerator, and and these workers came by with their blowers and shit, was blowing all this pollen. Oh, man. It was not good.
It was ugly, huh?
It was ugly. No, I was ugly. The face I was making, those were ugly. Those were not good at all. But, you know, we're not here to talk about pollen or my allergy problems. But, like, we're here to talk about you and your allergy problems.
I actually don't have an allergy problem today. So, I'm good.
Well, that's good.
I'm good today.
I usually don't have allergy problems until, like, now. Now it's like, you know, this is like the worst time of year for me. I'm not really allergic to any foods or anything, really.
Yeah. It was the yellow cloud of doom, right?
The yellow cloud of doom that follows me around.
That's right, the yellow cloud of pollen doom.
Exactly. Most people are excited about spring. I dread it. I'm like, no. Stay away.
Well, I'm up in Michigan, so it's still pretty cold here. It's, let's see, like 42 degrees, so. We don't have a whole lot of pollen yet.
Probably down here. Yeah, I have a lot of family in Michigan, actually.
Yeah?
That's where my mom is from. So she lives.
What area of Michigan is she in?
Near Detroit, I guess, Livonia area.
Oh, over by me. Okay.
Bloomfield Hills, I think. I remember going to
Hudson
back in the day.
Yeah, I'm right near Detroit, so she's not far from me. She's like maybe 20 minutes.
Okay. I remember driving by the big Michelin tire.
Yeah, I have. Actually.
Yeah, see,
I have seen that.
The Renaissance Center.
Yeah, I was looking at your picture of your little co-host there.
My little friend. Yeah.
She's pretty cool.
Oh, she's cool. She talks too much, though.
I
had to put a muzzle on her. Yeah, because she keeps talking about rainbows and cotton candy and flowers and happy stuff. I'm like, you know what? Just could have put a sock in it. You know, I'm too busy.
She's tied up in the
miserable.
Corner.
She's
tied up in the corner right now. Yeah.
She is. She's got, you know, she's got the gag in her mouth and shit, you know. I can only take so much happiness at one time, you know.
Yeah, I totally feel you.
So when did you get this paranormal party started? Shout out to Misty and Ashley, who were unavailable today.
Hey guys.
Woo! When did you first figure out that you had like a gift, an ability?
Well, actually, I was about 3 years old, and. Yeah, I was kind of laying in my room one night when it all started, and I looked at the end of my bed, and there's this thing peeking up over the edge of my bed. And, you know, being 3 years old, I'm thinking, you know, first it's some kind of animal or something got in my room. And
mm-hmm.
I'm watching it closer, and it had these long, like, rabbit ears, but they were scaly. And it had an abnormal hump on its back and some really sharp teeth. And I'm like, that's not a rabbit. And I remember that I covered my head up with my blanket, and I told it had to go away. And I laid there for a couple hours, went and got my mom, and she, of course, told me, you know, you're dreaming, this isn't happening. And, you know, I let it go, and then it just progressed from there, and every night I was getting, you know, spirits floating over my bed, not letting me sleep, you know, talking to me when I'm at school, you know, and the whole time, you know, I'm telling my mother, and she's like, you have to keep this to yourself. You can't tell anyone. They'll lock you away. They'll think you're crazy. So, you know, I grew up terrified to sleep. There was one night that I thought I was dreaming, and there was this guy in a doctor's coat, and he carried me
mm-hmm.
from my room all the way down the stairs and put me on the couch downstairs. And I woke up on the couch downstairs. I'm like, okay, that was either a really vivid dream or I just got carried down the stairs by a ghost. So, you know, I had experiences my whole time growing up. And, you know, there was a period in my life where I did my best, probably from 15 to 22, that I did my very best to ignore it and not talk about it. And the more I ignored it, the worse it got, to the point, you know, I just told myself, you know, this is who I am. This is what I do. Either,
mm-hmm.
you know, accept me for what I do and who I am or don't. But, you know, I can't keep this part of myself in the closet anymore because it's making me unhappy. So I just came out of the paranormal closet, as it were, and really started pursuing a career in the paranormal. I started
mm-hmm.
doing investigations, working with paranormal teams. I work on missing person cases because I have what's called reverse sight, which means I can talk to that and they can tell me, you know, they can show me scenes of what happened to them. And I've helped
mm-hmm.
the police with quite a few cases where I've actually given them information they could use. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So going back to when you first started to come out of the paranormal closet, did you start a team? Did you talk? Who did you talk to when you first came out? Did you tell your friends? Just take me through that process of how you actually came out to people.
Came out of the closet.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
What it was kind of my epiphany moment was when the paranormal show started coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the first show I watched was Ghost Hunters. And I was like, oh, you know, well, maybe it's okay to talk about this. And I thought about it for about a year. And then I saw Amy Allen on, you know, Dead Files. And I'm like, she does exactly what I do. And you know, if it's okay for her, then it's okay for me. And you know, there was a time where I really just said,
yeah.
you know, screw it. You know, I contacted Amy, and that was probably about 3-4 years ago. I contacted Amy, and I said, you know, how do you handle this? You know, how do you live with this? What do you do? How do you help people? And Amy helped me, you know, with it. She taught me, you know, how to help people, how to suppress some of it, how to push it away, how to open up.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you know, I was, you know, dating a guy, and I told him about, you know, reluctantly told him about what I could do. And, you know, he was accepting of it. And he said, well, you know, let's start a paranormal team. And that's how I got, you know, involved with Glass Paranormal, which I'm still a member of. We have done quite a few investigations, including, you know, residential and you know, commercial investigations. We've done the USSN, which is in Upper Michigan. We've done the Silversides, which is in Muskegon, Michigan. Old Mill, which, you know, basically they're all in Michigan so far as what I've done. But I'm looking to expand and start, you know, branching out and doing some other places. I'd love to do Waverly.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's just a little, you know, that's a lot of travel and a lot of expense. So, but that's
yeah,
on my
it is hard
paranormal bucket list of places to go.
I think it's on a lot of people's paranormal bucket list. You know, it's one of those like mecca locations where, like, it's not too bad where it's like impossible to go to, but it's still something you need to save. Yeah, it's still something you need to like save up for. You know,
right? Definitely. I mean, I've had a team in Ireland that's invited me to come over and investigate with them. I'm like, unless you're paying for it, I'm not coming. But they wanted me to come to some stuff in Europe, and maybe eventually, you know, I'll be able to do that. But you know, that would be completely phenomenal
to get
over there and do some of the locations in Europe. I mean, some of that stuff over there is pretty wild because their history is a lot older than ours is.
Oh yeah, centuries old. I mean, Alex and Helena, you know, the host of Bolin Paranormal, their old house, they're telling me, is older than America. Their house they lived in was 400 years old. Yeah.
Amazing.
So, I mean, I should tell you something right there. It's just crazy.
I totally want to get on that Dow Island, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I do love creepy dolls.
I do not
love
creepy
dolls.
But I do not like creepy dolls, but I think that would be amazing. Yeah,
yeah,
I think it would scare the bejesus out of me. I mean, it takes a lot
to
scare me. Yeah, so I think that would actually scare me. Just the fact that there's...
I think an island full of creepy dolls would probably freak me the fuck out, to be honest with you. I mean, it's...
just a little bit.
All it is for one doll... just like turn their head and look at me, you know, like a horror movie, like, you know, the fucking thing. I would jump, I'd swim back to Mexico, wherever the hell it is. Oh my God.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, but you know, this island is, I mean, wall to wall, creepy, broken, eyeball missing, limb missing dolls.
I mean, they're fucking toys. That's all they are. It's not like the devil himself spawned these dolls and they're haunted and they have sharp teeth and going to shoot your eyes. It's just dolls. But there's this connotation to dolls. I mean, I guess dirty dolls. I guess they're all dirty and all like messed up, but still, they're still pieces of plastic.
Exactly.
But we have this aura built in our heads like, oh my God, creepy dolls. Like at the 360 house.
Well, they used to believe back in olden times that...
Back in the day,
that, you know, a doll could hold a human spirit. You know, that's where the whole Annabelle legend came from, is she was inhabited by some crazy child spirit. But, you know, they believe that's why the Amish... don't have dolls with faces, because they believe that if you put a face on a doll, it a spirit can take over the doll and the devil can come through it. So, you know, that there's a lot of mysticism around dolls. And that's why I don't have any in my house.
I had a haunted doll in my room for a while.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
On purpose?
I got it from my friend Rhonda. And her name was Maya. I don't know if she was really haunted or not, to be honest with you. I never really did much experimenting on it. Just had it in my room. If it was haunted, great. If not, that's great too. But she collects them. And we went to an event at the Exchange Hotel last October, a Halloween event. And we set up a photo booth.
Oh, cool.
and she brought her dolls, her collection of haunted dolls, as decorations for the booth. Well, we're packing up, and she was like, oh, shit, I don't have enough room in my car. Can you put my dolls in the back of your car? I'm like, all right. So I put them back in my truck, back in my little Honda Accord, and they sat there for about a month. I mean, they just sat there taking up room. So finally, I decided to put them in the cabin on 360. Let me tell you what.
Oh, great place to put dolls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I had no place else to put them, you know. I'm like, well, I don't want to keep them back in my car, you know. So I'm like, well, I'll just put them in there. Yeah. People come in there and to investigate, and they go upstairs to where they are, and they see these dolls sitting there. Yeah, about makes them jump out of their skin. I'm like, oh, yeah. I should probably tell you there's some haunted dolls in this house. But
I did an investigation somewhere. I don't remember where it was, but we opened a door to one of the room, and there was probably like 20, 30 towels in there. I'm like, oh, nope, I'm done. Close the door, latch it shut. I'm going to go back in there. You guys can. But yeah, that was by far the creepiest room. I have to get down and see the 360 house before too long.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, a clown doll? No, not after Poltergeist.
Those are like
clown doll.
The epitome of scary. I mean, clowns are scary anyways.
Yeah, but I saw the movie Poltergeist with that doll, with the clown doll. No.
And it was at the movie It with Pennywise.
Oh, it just that new came out. There's a new.
Yeah,
they're
the
making
new,
a new,
the new
version
trailer
of that.
Came out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it.
It
looks pretty scary.
It does.
Of course, I'm a wuss. I do not like horror movies.
No way.
Not my thing. No, I cannot stand. My daughter, Rihanna, fuck, she loves them. She'll watch them. But me, I'd rather watch a comedy. I'd rather watch anything but that. Which I know is weird because they're doing this paranormal thing, but.
Right. As you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm also empathic, and I think that people that are empathic have a harder time with horror movies and violence anyway. I mean, I can't watch a slasher film at all. I can't get through it.
For the people. And even when on TV where people get in arguments on television, or if I know something bad's going to happen to somebody on TV, like someone's going to die. I feel it, you know? I'm like, I mean, that's why I don't like watching The Walking Dead or shows where I get attached to characters and then they get killed off.
Right.
You know, because I'm like a wreck.
Yeah,
you know?
I can't even watch
I try to avoid shows like that.
I can't even watch the finales of shows because I'm so attached to the characters that it's going to kill me if I watch it end. So I never watched the end. I'm just like, it just goes on. It's in my little fairyland where nothing ever ends.
Yeah.
I never watched the end.
Yeah,
to me, it goes on, you know?
Yeah. To me, the characters in the sitcoms are still together. They're still doing their adventures. I don't have to
know that
so-and-so got killed. Or so-and-so left the show, or so-and-so, you know. No, of course, they're still around. They're still there.
Yep.
Dorothy and, you know, Rose and Blanche are still in the house in Florida.
They totally are.
You know?
They totally are.
Exactly. Totally. Lucy and Ricky
having
are still
little,
down.
Having their little Golden Girls adventures.
Yeah. Exactly. The Golden Girls adventures. That should be the new. They should have had a movie called The Golden Girls Adventures. That would have been awesome. I would have watched that.
It would have done really well in theater.
Yeah, I mean, like Indiana Jones type deal. I can see Dorothy with the hat on and the whip going off and finding buried treasures.
Yeah,
that's a spinoff that never should have happened.
It should have.
Exactly.
But if they try to remake it with other actresses, it just won't work. So.
Probably. They'll probably do a remake of The Golden Girls. And they'll have someone. Like, who would be in the Golden Girls movie? I mean, they'd have a special appearance by Rose before she, you know, hopefully, if they do it before she passes away. How old is she, like 110 now?
something like that, but she's still
kicking.
I do love
Betty White. Yeah.
Oh, I do,
I'm
too.
I'm not making fun. I do love Betty White. And you can't do a Golden Girls movie without appearance by Betty White, like the neighbor or something.
Nope.
She's got to be the neighbor, the curmudgeonly neighbor who comes by. And, like,
absolutely.
You know, yeah.
No,
so,
she's still kicking and going strong, thank goodness.
Now we have to cast the Golden Girls movie. We go for an older cast or a younger cast for the Golden Girls movie?
Well, I think it has to be, you know, some smoking hotter actresses, you know, like,
probably someone that, Nicole Kidman.
Oh, yeah. Maybe Meryl Streep. She's still
Meryl
still
Streep.
Pretty.
Oh, yeah. And Sandra Bullock. But who would play Ma? Who would play...
Yeah. Sandra Bullock's still kind of young, though. She still looks pretty good. I mean, we want her to look good, right?
Yeah. I mean, she could be Blanche.
Oh, yeah, totally.
The Blanche, yeah. I don't know. Who would play Rose? I think Nicole Kidman is definitely the Dorothy of the group.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Who could be Rose? I'm trying to think.
We need to cast Rose and Sophia.
Which one was Sophia? Was that the grandmother?
The mom. Dorothy's mom. Yeah.
Mom.
How about Helen Mirren?
That would probably
Mirren
be Meryl Streep,
Sophia.
I would think.
Meryl Streep?
Oh, yeah,
okay.
That would work.
I like her.
Yeah.
Meryl
Streep's got to be in there somewhere.
Yeah. We can't have a show with a bunch of women without having Meryl Streep in it. She's like, what about Diane Keaton as one of them?
Oh, or Cher, too.
Cher.
She's got her acting chops. Yeah.
Wow.
She's still alive.
There are too many choices. I mean, I would never see this movie because I think none of them fit the bill. But doing Hollywood, it's just a matter of time before
they'd make
to
it
do
work.
That. Of course they would. I mean,
well, they're remaking everything. You know, you think about it.
I know what they won't remake: the Cosby Show.
No, they won't be remaking.
They won't be remaking the Cosby. They won't be remaking the Cosby Show anytime soon. No.
That would just be weird.
Yeah,
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, that would be a good one to redo.
It would be. Then fucking Will Smith can be the Uncle Phil character.
The dad.
Uncle Will.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
The new Fresh. Oh, you gotta be the new Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
That's right. We could throw a paranormal spin and have their house be haunted.
Exactly. The new haunted Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Paranormal ghost hunter Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
The paranormal Prince of Bel-Air. There we go.
There we go. That's perfect. I like it. The paranormal Prince of Bel-Air.
I am digging on that. We should seriously be producers for Hollywood. You
we
know,
should.
I mean,
we
you
would
can't,
make them lots
really
of money.
Get this ideas from, you know, these ideas are from the salt of the earth. I don't
they
even
are.
Know what I'm saying
they're,
right now, but, you know.
They're pure gold.
These are
they
grassroots.
Are.
Yes. Yes, they are.
It is.
You know what you're talking
it's,
about.
It's television
about.
Magic.
Exactly. This is where we're witnessing magic. We're like fucking Houdini. And David
that's right.
Copperfield.
Television
and
magic.
Harry Potter.
They don't listen.
We're like
the
Harry
they don't
Potter
listen to us.
Fucking.
Yeah. Television.
Block talk.
That's right.
Dude, seriously, guys.
We're radio. We are.
We are like.
We are.
Send us to fucking Hogwarts. We're ready to go. We're making magic here. Seriously.
That's right. We need to
expecto
cast
expecto
spells.
Expecto Patronum, bitches. That's right. Yeah.
We need to be casting some paranormal spells. That's right.
Hell yeah. Sweet. Yeah. I don't even know what a paranormal spell would even do. What is it like turn people into ghosts? Or how do we, what's a paranormal spell?
I
guess all spells are
we could bring people back from the dead. That'd be, we could,
yeah,
we could just like.
Zombies, and that doesn't work too well. Zombies
aren't
good.
Mm. No.
Yeah.
No. Well, it depends on the kind of zombie, I guess. You know, there's different.
Are you a good zombie or a bad
grade
zombie?
Levels.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Yeah,
yeah,
there's, you know, there's like the zombies that are fast, you know, and then there's the slow zombies that, you know, can't catch you. So
either one. I don't
want
to bring them back. Okay, I'm not going to use my spell to bring back a dead person.
Mm-mm.
So let's reverse that.
You're not going to use your paranormal magic
That's
to bring back
no. No, no magic, no dead people.
No grave robbing.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Sorry. You are on your own.
Darn it. Yeah. So I'm going to have to raise the dead by myself?
Yeah. All right,
come
on. I'm accusing my paranormal magic skills to bring back dead people. I got to think of something else better.
You're only
going to
use your paranormal magic
spells
for good?
Yes. And I don't know what that good is. I don't know what a paranormal, like a ghost spell would do. It's a good ghost spell.
I guess
all spells are, you know, if you could cast one spell, let's say, all right, let's go beyond ghosts. If you had the ability to cast one spell, and that's the only spell you could cast for the rest of your life, if you could just do it over and over again, what would it be?
Well, I could give my real answer, or I could give a good
give
you
real
answer.
It's a freaking awesome paranormal show. It's a freaking awesome paranormal show. Shit.
Yeah, I would probably, you know, make, you know, be able to make money with a wand. That'd
see?
Be cool. An endless
exactly.
Supply.
You know what? Honestly,
then I would donate to charity. There
the
we go.
Thing. I was going to say the same thing. I can make money, and of course I'm not going to be lying. I'd do it for myself too. But I'd have so much of it. I could build, you know, charities. I could build ballparks. You know, I could, you
That's
know,
right.
I could do whatever I wanted to with it. I'd still be well off. Don't get me wrong. You know.
Right. You could build a
I'd
palace
have,
for
a,
your
I'd
unicorn.
Have a hot tub full of freaks. Yeah, I'd have.
That's right.
You know, I'd have a, like a magical meadow with like riding on Cotton County cars, and you know, roads paved with Skittles.
That's right.
You know, but
why not?
Charity. That'd still be good. Yeah.
That's right.
That'd
you know,
still
you
be
got
good,
an endless supply
yeah.
of money. You need to have a Skittle Street, right?
I know. Exactly. And rivers. Rivers of lemonade.
Rivers
of
Skittles?
Oh, no. Limeade. I don't like lemonade.
Oh, lemonade.
Yeah.
Oh, a lemonade.
Pools.
Mm.
Pools of like Jell-O you can walk across.
That'd be cool.
And dive into Jell-O. See?
Yeah. I would totally do that.
There we go. And we, you talk about that. You know how many bugs would be all over my fucking property if I just touch it? The rain would start raining and my fields would melt.
Ants stuck in it.
Candy clouds would, my cotton candy clouds would all disappear and like there'd be a ton of like fucking bees everywhere. Yeah. The worst idea ever.
It'd be bad.
Oh my God.
What?
Yeah, it's all fun and games until it starts raining. The sun comes out, everything starts melting, and everything's all sticky and stuff.
Yeah, and then the neighborhood dogs get involved, and
yes,
they get stuck
and then,
in the Jell-O.
And then you know, kids come over to play, and you know, parents you know get involved and stuff, and you know, and bad things happen. So maybe not. Maybe
you get sued
right,
because somebody,
that.
You know, gets hurt in the Jell-O or...
Yeah, so yeah. Someone just... someone dies headfirst in the Jell-O, even after I told them specifically, don't dive. There's fucking sign by the pool. Right there. Read it. Don't dive headfirst in the Jell-O. Idiot kid.
Even after a liability
and it's like a long,
waiver and everything.
Yeah. And then, yeah. And then someone, you know, kind of falls off the candy cane slide and gets sticky or... Oh, man.
Yeah. They get gum in their hair.
Money. Yes.
Imagine. People getting gum in their hair.
Living in Candyland is really not the best idea in the world. Of course, all the people who tuned in to this podcast to hear about paranormal shit right now are turning it off. Like, what the fuck are we listening to? Candyland? Crap.
No, they're listening.
Yeah.
They're listening.
Look at my idea what they're doing. You're like, yeah, okay,
yeah.
Holy shit, this is a good idea. I've got to make, I've got to invent a money-making wand.
It could be
yes.
a paranormal Candyland, you know. We could do
everything
that.
Has to be paranormal. As long as it has the word paranormal in it, it's awesome. You know, the word
we could have like a paranormal circus and Zach Bagans. Yeah, Zach Bagans could be the ringmaster. Yeah. Paranormal circus.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's look at this. You put the word paranormal in front of everything, it makes things better. Man, I got to have a root canal.
Yeah, it does.
But what about a paranormal
root canal?
Root canal. There, yeah. Huh?
I know. With
man,
a paranormal dentist.
I hate fucking doing taxes. What about paranormal taxes? Oh, yes.
Paranormal taxes at a haunted, what is that place called?
Accountant's office?
H&R Block or whatever. H&R Block, the haunted H&R Block building.
H&R, haunted and reckless, no.
Yeah,
H is haunted
I like it.
And haunted, well, we got to think of a good R for that.
I like
haunted
reckless,
and
I do.
Reckless? I want somebody who's haunted and reckless to do my taxes. Woo! I'm excited.
Yeah, you could have Benjamin Franklin doing your taxes, yeah?
Yes, because he's dead, right? Shit.
Right, totally dead.
I mean, he should be
up
there with today's tax codes. I mean, he's Benjamin fucking Franklin. His fucking face is on the $100 bill. You should know something about money. Hello?
He should.
He's talking about pences and, like, hey pennies. He'll be talking about shit. I'm like, what the fuck is a hey penny?
I don't know.
He's like, oh, this is sixpence. And what is this? What is that? You got to get him up to date on, like, you know.
We'll give him some Benjamins, right?
You know, currency or whatever. Yeah. Hey, it's all about you.
Yeah.
He says all about Benjamin. He
it's
says
money
it's all about me.
With your face on it. I wonder how
that's
he
right.
feels.
You
know, he knew there was money with his face on it. I wonder if he knows.
He probably does.
I'm sure he does.
He probably
he's
does.
Probably all over
yeah,
it.
He's
probably
like,
up on the other side bragging,
making,
you know?
He's all like, I'm making it rain on ye wenches.
Money with my face on it.
Oh, shit. We should totally bring back old school talk like that.
Then he makes fun of Lincoln
because like
Lincoln's
that.
Just on a penny. Yeah,
yeah
he's just on a penny,
oh,
right?
No. He's on a $5 bill, too. I mean, come on.
Is he?
I mean, you got to give Honest Abe
okay.
the credit. He's on a big fiver.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's on a $100 bill, though.
He's on a nickel. And then he's
that's
on a $2 bill, which that's very rare to see.
Right.
I didn't know they make $2 bills anymore.
I don't
to
think
be honest.
I don't think they do. I don't think they went over well. They were paranormal enough.
No.
Didn't want them.
No. Actually, now they're more paranormal than any other bills because you never
yeah.
see them.
Yeah, they're a ghost. Right. They're a ghost of money.
It's like seeing a ghost. I saw
that's
two,
right.
I saw a $2 bill. Oh, my God. Get on tape. Call Ghost Adventures.
Yeah, they could do a show about it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Find,
then search
find
up
a $2 bill with a curse on it. Yeah.
Wow. I mean,
I'm sure
television gold. I mean, there are people who watch people go out to the Home Depot and buy fucking paint for their house.
That's
I guarantee
right.
we can find it. We can make a ghost. We can make a show about just looking for a
ghost
$2
money.
Bill on put it on yeah ghost money. Put it on TLC.
Yeah.
And all you do is add some music to it, make it sound like it's a big deal, and shit, there we go. Good TV right there. Boom.
Well, speaking of ghosts, there was on eBay the other day, there was a guy selling a box. Did you see this? He had a cardboard box that he said Patrick Swayze's spirit was captured in.
Oh, shit.
And he was selling it for like $10,000. Patrick Swayze was trapped in it.
You know what? Since it's on eBay and it's actually in a cardboard box.
It's a cardboard box, yeah. And he said that
Patrick Swayze's
spirit is stuck in it.
Every good ghost hunter knows.
Mm-hmm.
You can only capture spirits in a cardboard box.
That's right.
I watch these ghost chasers and Tennessee Wraith and people on, you know, Destination America. You know,
right.
And they have all these little contraptions and bells and whistles.
All you
box.
Need is a box.
All you need. Yeah. I mean, I don't. The cardboard box sales are going to go up off the roof. Every time I go to a paranormal website, the number one selling thing, cardboard box. Got to be.
I'm taking a cardboard box to my next investigation.
You better. I mean, if you don't, you might as well just pack up your shit and be like, you know what, fuck this shit.
All right. I'm not even on top of the game if I don't bring a cardboard box with me.
You know, temporary paper lunch bag is a good temporary holding facility for a spirit.
Until you get it home to your cardboard box.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it won't last overnight. Maybe a few hours.
Yeah.
Enough for you to get home. So
temporary containment.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, plastic bags don't work. Clear plastic bags don't.
No.
Please, that's a rookie mistake. That is a rookie mistake a lot of people make.
They do.
A lot of people ask.
That's their first mistake. They go plastic, and then you know, once you go paper, you never go back.
Yeah.
So
exactly, because the ghost can't see outside. If the ghost can see outside of the bag, they can get out. Put them in a paper bag, they're
right.
Stuck. They get lost. They don't. It's dark. They don't know what the fuck's going on. They're stuck.
That's a huge controversy.
Shit, I can get out of here.
That's right. That's a huge controversy in the paranormal right now. Paper versus plastic.
It is tearing the fucking paranormal community apart. It's like the Civil War going on here.
It is.
You know, I mean,
people are going plastic.
Maybe,
people are going paper.
I can see, you know, maybe like shopping bags that are you can't see through. You know, but
you like the heavy duty ones?
Still,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still on the paper bag train. Yeah, I'm all about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times I ask.
Well, the paper
bag
you can crinkle
up
the top and close it.
Yeah, exactly. You can tie the knot, but there's still a little piece of little air they can get out. Because I mean, those are stinky. They can squeeze.
You know, plastic bags. No matter how tight you tie them, they're still air holes. I mean, it's flawed. It's a flawed theory.
That's my whole point. That's my whole point. That's
and once
there,
you get them to the box and you get that piece of tape over the box, they're done. They're in there.
Yeah, exactly. There have been studies
eBay.
Made comparing plastic bags and, you know, paper bags and stuff. And usually I'll ask people like on my show, like, what's the equipment you want to bring on an investigation, you know?
Right.
Every time. Every single time they get the wrong answer. Oh, we're a digital recorder. You know, use my mic. No. Paper bag, a cardboard box. That's it.
That's right.
That's it.
State of the art.
I mean, exactly. Now, and you can, like, take them home. You can play with them. Have your own little ghost pet and stuff.
That's right.
I mean.
You could trap it in a doll.
I'm glad.
Even, you know.
Yeah.
You could.
Why not?
You know, put a doll in the in the box with the ghost.
And he's only selling Patrick Swayze's ghost for $10,000. I mean, that's a steal.
In a box.
I could have.
It's on there right now. You can go look.
Fucking Johnny from Dirty Dancing. Oh, no, his last name. From Dirty Dancing. I could have the time of my life with Patrick Swayze's ghost.
That's right.
Damn.
I mean, it's seriously on eBay right now. If people want to go look. Unless he sold it, it's there.
I saw someone selling a long time ago. I read an article about someone selling his imaginary friend on eBay.
Wow.
Yeah, that happened.
That doesn't seem legal at all. I mean. I'm surprised he didn't go to jail.
That's
true.
Well,
poor Patrick Swayze.
I mean, you're right. They really shouldn't be doing that because that's really imaginary friend trafficking. You know, and it should be illegal.
It totally is.
It is a black market thing.
There should be laws. So it is.
There ought to be.
Imaginary friends.
Imaginary
you know,
laws.
That's right.
Imaginary lives. Imaginary lives matter. Damn it.
Me too.
I mean,
I am all about.
I'm on the imaginary friend train.
That's right.
They
should have rights.
They should be
just like anybody else
protesting outside of Capitol. I mean, because this guy, this imaginary friend, Waldo the Hopping Bunny, gave his friendship to this guy, and he's just selling him off. Like, doesn't he have a right to, like, you know, protest or, you know, decide who he goes to?
Yeah.
I mean, this is sick.
Well, maybe he wants to stay with
sick,
his childhood friend. I mean, that's betrayal at its finest, you know?
It is, man.
There's this imaginary friend that helped you grow up and was there for you, and you're just going to sell him like he doesn't matter.
All right. Let's say he outgrew him. All right. That's fine. We outgrow our imaginary
mm-hmm.
friends. It is what it is. You know, but you don't sell him. You say, look.
Wow.
I mean, go make some other kid happy. Do your thing. I'm okay. You helped me through some hard times. I appreciate it. Exactly. Go. I wish you the best of luck. Come back and visit me if you can. You know, call, stop by. You know, bring the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but don't sell them off.
No.
Which is wrong.
I would never on so many levels.
But on a serious note, bring it back to the serious part of the conversation. What actually would you recommend people bring on an investigation besides a cardboard box and a paper bag?
You know, depending on what level of paranormal investigating you're doing, I never recommend that anybody go into a location that is a novice. That, you know, don't trespass. Don't go anywhere disrespectful. You know, but the key, I mean, if you're new to this and you want to get a taste of the paranormal, probably the best piece of equipment you can use is just an EVP recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can even use like a reel-to-reel tape. I mean, you don't have to get anything fancy. You know, you could get one of those, you know, push-button recorder, you know, little tape recorders from, you know, when you were a kid, and use the reel-to-reel tapes if you want to. You know, and just sit down and you know, you don't even have to go anywhere paranormal to do it. I mean, I don't recommend people do this in their house because, you know, you never know what you're going to stir up. But, you know, if you want to, you know, even go stand out outside of a building that, you know, has paranormal activity, or, you know, go even with a team, you know, find a team in your area that does investigations, or a location in your area like you do. You know, where you can come in and investigate in a safe environment under, you know, the guidance of professionals. I mean, people that know what they're doing and aren't going to let you hurt yourself.
Another thing you could do,
I mean, there,
if you don't feel like going out and buying a new recorder, use the voice recorder on your cell phone. Works just as well
absolutely.
As a digital recorder.
Yep.
And sometimes it works better and some of the recorders that are out there. But, yeah, Rebecca's definitely right. Definitely get permission to go to places because you don't know what's, you know, spiritually in there. You know what's physically in there as well. You know,
exactly.
You could be walking to a house that's got bad floorboards or, you know, asbestos or any number of different bad things that could happen to you. So, yeah,
right.
Just get permission before you go investigating.
Absolutely. And,
and
be respectful, too. I mean.
Yes. Yeah, because I think a lot of times people forget that, you know, the spirits were human at one point. And a lot of them, you know,
absolutely.
Obviously some of the deceased human attributes to them. They're you know, they're not animals.
No,
and
absolutely.
I think a lot of times we treat them like animals in the zoo. Do this. Hey, make this light go off. Do this. Do that.
Right. Right. Exactly. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, that gets old after a while.
Honestly, it's harder, I think, for people who don't have abilities because they're sitting there in the dark for hours, and it's you're basically talking to yourself. So I can understand,
right.
you know, them, I guess, talking to the spirit, like the spirit's like 2 years old, because they really want something to happen. And you're, can you please put her
right.
light on? Good, very good, you know. Because basically you don't have any interaction with the spirit. You know, so you're saying at least you're talking, asking questions and not getting responses back. And that's hard to do.
Right.
You know, for hours.
As a paranormal investigator, you know yourself that sometimes you can sit in a
yeah.
location for hours and nothing
mm-hmm.
happens. It's not like television where, you know, bits and pieces are, you know, connected. Sometimes you sit 6 hours and you get absolutely nothing. And, you know, but
yeah, well, I mean,
what makes it worth it is when you get that EVP that's, you know, class A EVP and you and it gives you confirmation, but that's not going to happen every single time. That's the,
most of stuff,
you know,
I get
the exception.
At home when I'm going through my stuff at home. Like the EVPs I get, you know, very, very rarely does something happen to me personally when I'm actually on investigations, always at home when I'm going through evidence. Occasionally I'll get
when you're doing the review?
Disembodied voice or something during an
mm-hmm.
investigation. But I can probably count the times that's happened to me in, like, one hand. So,
right.
But you're talking about, you know, the TV shows and stuff. They sit there for, like, 12 hours or, like, they investigate for 2 nights, and they splice everything together into a one-hour show. So
exactly.
It's like all this really cool stuff happens in and out. No, no.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, I've taken people, you know, novices on investigations. There was one girl, one location that we did. She
mm-hmm.
had her 21st birthday party. It was a paranormal investigation. That's what she wanted to do. And we were about 3 hours in. And she's like, this is boring. This isn't like television. And, well, you know, and she got up and laughed. Okay, bye. But, you know, you know, she says, we're not getting, there's no knocking, there's no banging, there's no woo, there's nothing. She says, it's just us sitting around a recorder. And I said, well, that's the majority of what paranormal investigation is.
Yeah, it's very, you have to be patient. You know, and that's one of the knocks, I guess, on, like the shows, there are you know good things about the shows. Obviously, they helped you, you know, come out, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
oh, they're
gave
great
you confidence
thing.
To come out. But then again, there are bad things about them as well. You know.
But I think what the main thing they did was give people permission to say, "I'm not crazy. This is really happening to me."
Mm-hmm.
And I can, and there's somebody now that I can go to for help, which is amazing, that they can reach out to a paranormal team in their area and say, you know, I'm having this activity, and no one's going to call them crazy. They're going to say, we totally believe you, and we're going to come out and see what we can do to help you.
See, that's a good thing. And you're right.
Absolutely.
It's really helped, you know, give people who may have felt like they were outcasts a sense of community. Like a sense of belonging with people, and it's really brought like paranormal groups out to the forefront. Definitely made the show possible, and the network, and you know,
absolutely.
People
want to know what happens. People want to know that they go on, and you know, they want to know that there's something beyond this.
And it helps people feel secure. Helps people feel like safe, you know, and hey, there is something else out there.
It confirms,
you know?
Faith. It absolutely does.
Exactly. So when you go on an investigation, do you wear any kind of protection? Do you say any prayers? Or what do you usually do before you walk into a place?
Well, what our team usually does is at the beginning of the investigation, We'll say a prayer. We'll say, you know, we're here, you know, in the best light. We're not here to cause trouble. We're not here to cause anybody any pain. We're here to just talk to you in an intelligent adult way. All we ask is that when we leave, you stay here, you know, and that you don't mm-hmm. follow us home, and that you don't disrupt our lives, because, you know, we're not here to take you out of here. We're here to talk to you and give you an opportunity to express yourself. And, you know, we also conclude our investigation at night with another prayer and thank them for allowing us to be in their environment and speak to them and thank them for talking to us and, you know, tell them that, again, you need to stay here. You can't come home with us. You know, this is where this ends. You stay here.
Well, it seems like we're almost done with our with our show. See, time goes, time flies by when a freaking the fringy paranormal, the freaking awesome fringe.
That's right.
Whatever you want to call it.
When they merge and mesh.
Exactly. Okay. I've got one question. If you were to give advice to a person who wants to join the paranormal field or wants to come out, what would your advice be to them?
To, you know, like a sensitive that wants to come out?
Yeah.
Well, the best thing to do, you know, Facebook is a great community where, you know, reach out to somebody in your area. A paranormal team, you know, start there. If you feel your family would be supportive of you, talk to them about it. I mean, that's one of the mm-hmm. things I tell parents when they have small children that are saying, "Mommy, I'm seeing a ghost." One of the most important things to do is tell your child to believe you. I understand. You know, don't shame anybody for what they think they see and feel. I mean,
mm-hmm.
all that does is shut them down and make them feel bad about themselves. You know, it's our job in this day and age of spirituality to, you know, lift each other up, not tear each other down. So, you know, someone comes forward to you and said, you know, I'm experiencing things, and it's not something that you can help them with, then direct them to someone that can. And never tell anybody what they see or what they hear isn't real, because to them it is. It's absolutely 100% happening to them.
That's some very good advice. I think I appreciate that. And don't forget, you know, you're talking about going to Waverly Hills. You know, we have a public investigation at St. Albans the second weekend in November.
Know.
So
I'm going to try and make it to
come
that.
To Virginia.
I'm going to try my best to get there. I would love to.
It's
on my paranormal bucket list.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll see you. We'll see you down here in a few months, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ryan. You have a great night. Feel better.
All right. Thanks. Have a great night. Well, that was fun. I enjoyed having her on the show. Definitely want to thank her for coming on. Next week, we've got Elizabeth Saint. Yeah, Elizabeth Saint from Ghost of Shepherdstown. I want to say Elizabeth Smart, but I know that wasn't it. Elizabeth Saint from Ghost of Shepherdstown on the show. So that will be awesome. Hopefully Celestia will be feeling better. So, looking forward to talking to you guys next week. Same freaking awesome time, same freaking awesome channel, and I am out of here.